I keep noticing this thing everywhere, and it's kind of annoying that we've never just done the whole bit on it. Embeddings are under, what, half the stories we cover lately? And then we just casually toss the word around like everyone's been living with it for years.
Yeah, and that is such an exploring next move. We say the word like it's furniture, and then 2 minutes later we're leaning on it to explain search, routing, recommendations, all of it. So fine, let's actually make the furniture visible for once.
Thank you. Also, I think people hear embedding and embedding and assume it's some subtly different thing. It's the same thing, right? Just the singular version when you're talking about one vector, and the plural when you're talking about the whole idea.
Exactly. Same core idea. And if you want the deprereq version, we did whole episodes on tokenization. Episode 601, neural networks. Episode 630, three and neural network parameters. Episode 693. But just in plain English, those are the bits that let a model turn raw stuff into numbers and then tune those numbers so the output is useful.
Okay, good. Because the first thing I want in my head is not math. It's the picture. If you had to explain embeddings to a person in a kitchen with no whiteboard, what's the cleanest version?
Picture a giant map where meaning is the terrain. Words or images become dots on that map, and things with related meaning end up near each other. So king and queen sit close, dog and puppy sit close, and dog and volcano are way apart.
Right. So it's not that the computer knows what a king is in the human sense. It just has coordinates that behave like meaning. That's already a lot more useful than random numbers, which is the part I think people skip past too fast.
Yeah, random numbers would be useless here. If cat were one random string of digits and dog were another random string, the machine would have no reason to treat them as related. An embedding is a dense vector, which just means a list of numbers where the pattern in the list carries information about similarity.
Dense vector. So not a tiny label, not a category, but a long-ish numerical fingerprint.
That's a good way to say it. The usual shape is hundreds of dimensions, sometimes more, and each dimension is not a neat human word like furry or royal. It's more like a learned feature that helps position the thing correctly relative to everything else.
Okay, wait, so the model doesn't get handed a meaning map, it learns one.
Yeah, that's the whole trick. During training, it sees examples that should be close together and examples that should be far apart. And it adjusts its parameters until the geometry starts matching those relationships.
And parameters are the learned knobs inside the neural network. We did the full episode on that, episode 693. But the tiny version is, they're the adjustable numbers the model changes while it learns.
Exactly. And the network itself is just the machine doing the mapping from input to vector. Tokenization comes in first for text, because the model doesn't see a sentence as a sentence. It sees tokens, which are chunks of text the system can actually handle.
So the pipeline is basically, break the text into pieces, run it through the network, and out comes a point in this space. That feels almost too neat.
It is neat, but the neatness is earned by training. The model is pushed until similar things cluster and dissimilar things separate. Then, once you have that space, you can do useful math on it, compare distances, find neighbors, and sometimes even do analogy-style operations like king minus man plus woman landing near queen.
That's the part everyone likes to wave around because it sounds magical. But the real win is probably not the magic trick. It's that nearby things are nearby for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. The analogy thing is a party trick. The production thing is semantic similarity. If I embed a query and a document, then I can ask whether those vectors are closed without needing exact keyword overlap.
Which is why search suddenly got so much less dumb. Like those episodes where we were talking about tool routing and the failure flow stuff, the model wasn't reading the whole universe every time. It was finding the right chunk because the vectors lined up.
Right, and that's the practical superpower. Embeddings let you turn language into something a machine can compare cheaply. Instead of matching exact strings, you compare meaning-shaped numbers, which is why retrieval, clustering, recommendations, and a lot of routing systems all lean on them.
Okay, but why does that help so much in the first place? Because if the model already understands language, Why do we need this extra translation layer?
Because the model still needs a machine-friendly representation to do machine-friendly work. Humans can glance at two phrases and say, same idea, different wording. Computers need a numerical space where that sameness is already encoded. Embeddings are that bridge.
And that bridge can be tuned for different jobs. A word embedding is for individual words. A sentence embedding is for a whole sentence. And a multimodal embedding can put text and images into the same space, so you can compare across formats.
Yeah, and that's where people start getting sloppy and acting like one embedding is just like another. It isn't. The space is learned for a task, or at least for a distribution of tasks, and that matters a lot.
Let me rewind that to better way. If the model learns the space from huge piles of text or images, then the space reflects the patterns in that data. So if the data says certain things go together, the vectors learn that shape.
Exactly. And that's why embeddings are often pre-trained. You don't always build them from scratch inside one app. You can use an off-the-shelf embedding model, or you can fine-tune it if your domain has weird jargon, weird structure, or just a different notion of similarity.
That's the product angle I care about. Because a team doesn't usually want a vector space. They want the thing that makes their app find the right document, cluster the right tickets, or rank the right recommendation, without a bunch of brittle hand rules.
And that's why the term keeps sneaking into everything. The machine learning bit is elegant, but the business bit is dead simple. If you can represent meaning as coordinates, then a lot of annoying text problems become geometry problems.
The most machine learning sentence imaginable. Annoying text problems become geometry problems. I hate that it's good.
It really is the whole move, though. And before we make it sound too clean, the model is not discovering meaning in some philosophical sense. It's learning statistical patterns that make the comparisons work.
So the weirdness is that it feels semantic, but underneath it's trained association, which is probably why it can be so good and also so weird when it's wrong.
Yeah. It can inherit bias from the training data, and the dimensions are opaque. You don't usually get to look at dimension 47 and say, ah, yes, the official Katniss axis. It's mostly a useful black box.
But even if the axes are opaque, the distance still works. And that's enough for a ton of systems, which is maybe the least glamorous part of the whole story, and also the reason it matters.
Exactly. The value is not that you can interpret every coordinate. The value is that the structure is usable. If two things are close, the downstream system can act on that closeness.
Can we make it concrete with the stuff we've already looked at? Because I remember that agent routing piece where the token use dropped like crazy, when the system got smarter about what to fetch.
Yeah, that's a good one. In that kind of setup, embeddings often help a router decide which tool, document, or chunk is actually relevant. The router isn't reading everything from scratch. It's using vector similarity to narrow the search space before the expensive part happens.
And the old tracing agentic failure from the flow of success thing was basically a reminder that when agents fail, it's often because the right context never got assembled in the first place. Embeddings are part of the assembly line.
Exactly. They're one of the quiet pieces that makes the rest look smart. And when people say retrieval augmented generation, or RAG, a lot of the time the front half is embeddings doing the first pass sorting, so the language model doesn't have to guess blind.
Oh, that's the bridge I wanted. So if I'm building something practical, I'm not asking embeddings to answer the question. I'm asking them to point the system toward the right stuff to answer with.
Meet. That's the cleanest way to think about it. They're not the final brain. They are the representation layer that makes the rest of the pipeline tractable.
And because they're just coordinates, you can do other things too. Group similar support tickets, dedupe documents, recommend the next item, compare a query against a bunch of candidates. That's why they show up everywhere without making a big entrance.
Right. They're boring in the best way. A lot of the field's current systems are built on them, and that's still true now. Not as a flashy headline, just as load-bearing infrastructure.
So where does that leave the current moment? Because I don't want to accidentally sound like embeddings are some museum artifact. They're still what people reach for, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They're still core. The newer systems may hide them behind bigger retrieval stacks or multimodal pipelines. But the underlying move is the same. Turn meaning into a vector space so the machine can compare, search, and route.
Which is very rude, because it means the thing we keep acting like is a side detail is actually the flaw. Okay, I'm sold. The core thing is, embeddings make meaning computable by putting similar things near each other in a learned space.
Yeah, that's it. If that part clicks, the rest of the word stops feeling like jargon and starts feeling like a shortcut for a very specific trick.
Good, because we've been circling this for months, and I cannot believe this is how we're spending a Wednesday. But honestly, Tyler, that one finally feels like it's snapped into place.